Good morning and welcome again to the broadcast. We're glad to have you listening today. You know, oftentimes we say on this broadcast that it is a privilege and it is a great blessing to be able to study the Bible. And today we're going to look at how Jesus said that it is truly a distinct honor and privilege and blessing to know the will of God. We're reading today from Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 21. That is Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 21. And we're going to read down through verse 24, and then we're going to come back to verse 21 and start looking at these verses and explaining and applying what we find in them. So let's begin today in Luke chapter 10, verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now back in verse 21, the Bible says that Jesus rejoiced in spirit. Now this passage shows us that Jesus felt, he experienced, the whole range of human emotions. This passage says that Jesus rejoiced. So did Jesus go around sad all the time? No. Yes, the Bible shows that he felt sorrow. The Bible shows that he felt anger. The Bible shows that Jesus felt fear. But it also shows that Jesus felt happy, that he experienced joy in his life. And this is one of those verses that show us that Jesus was God in the flesh. He was human. Over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now when Jesus took part of flesh and blood then, that means that he felt human emotions. He experienced human feelings. Jesus rejoiced in spirit. And he's praying to God here, and he thanks God. He thanks God, the Lord of heaven and earth, because he said, Lord, you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent. What things is he talking about here? What things did God hide from the wise and the prudent? Well, he's talking about the great truths about the kingdom, about the Messiah, about the gospel. And Jesus says here that God hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Well, does this mean that God didn't want these people that he's talking about here to know about the kingdom? Didn't he want everybody to understand and to know about the Messiah and about the gospel? Well, of course he did. It's not because God didn't want them to know and to be saved. It can't be that, because the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God has always wanted all men to be saved. But man has free will. Man is the one that makes the decision as to whether he will follow God or disobey him. So when the scriptures say here that God hid these things, these great truths, of the kingdom and of the Messiah and of the gospel, the New Testament, that Jesus was beginning to preach here, when it says that God hid these things from these people, doesn't mean that God deliberately didn't want them to know the truth. These things were hidden because certain people were too prideful to see them, and they would have abused them, and also they would have interfered with Jesus' plans if they had fully understood these great truths. You see, the Jewish leaders were those that were wise and prudent. And what that means is they were wise and they were intelligent in their eyes. In their thinking, They thought that they were wise. They thought that they were prudent. And as a matter of fact, what happened here, folks, is that these people thought that they were too smart. They thought that they were too intelligent to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is talking about something here that is very similar to what Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, when Paul said, "Brethren, you see your calling, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called." Now, what does Paul say there? He says there are not many wise men after the flesh. That means that they are intelligent and oftentimes very educated according to the flesh. That means according to man's standards. In the eyes of men, they are very intelligent. They are brilliant people. Now, Paul says this, "There are not many of those very intelligent people that accept the gospel." Why? Because it's too simple for them. Because they will not humble themselves. Because, you see, the gospel strikes at man's pride. The gospel tells us all to humble ourselves. And a man that prides himself in his intelligence oftentimes is unwilling to humble himself before the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says there are not many of them. He doesn't say there are not any people who are very intelligent that will be saved. He just says that there are not many of them who will accept the gospel and obey it. Now, we find this also taught in Matthew chapter 13, after Jesus had spoken the parable of the sower of the seed. The Bible says that after he gave that parable, that his disciples came to him and they wanted to know why he was speaking so much in parables. And here's what Jesus said. He said in verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand. Seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them.'" That is Matthew 13, verses 10 through 15. So how did God hide these truths? Well, by making them so simple that those who leaned on their own intelligence and their own wisdom would not accept them. By veiling these truths in symbols like these parables. And also by doing what goes against human pride, especially the cross. And again, that's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He said that there were people that would not accept the cross because it was a stumbling block to the Jews, and it was foolishness to the Greeks. They just couldn't put it together. They just couldn't figure it out, and it just did not fit with their worldly wisdom. And it especially was a blow to their human pride. Now, that's what he means when he says that God hid these things from the wise and prudent, that is, these people who were wise and prudent in their sight. These great truths of the gospel were not hidden because God intentionally covered them up and didn't want these people to understand them, because God delivered through Jesus Christ the same teaching to the wise and the prudent, just like he did to these babes. Why did the babes that he talks about here understand them and the wise and the prudent did not? Well, because those who are called babes here were humble. They were the poor in spirit. And Jesus said that God revealed these things to them, and it was not by a small, still voice, but by the same word that he gave to others. The difference between these babes here, that is, these poor in spirit people, these humble people, and those who were wise and prudent, that is, those who were wise in their own thinking, the difference between the two was their attitude. And these people that Jesus is talking about here that he calls babes were those that were humble and honest enough to accept the teaching of God's word and to obey it. Now in verse 22, Jesus said that all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knows who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son. Now what does he mean by that? What does he mean that nobody knows who the Son is except the Father? Because it's obvious that there were people that knew who the Son of God was, and it's obvious that there were people that knew who the Father was besides Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus obviously means here that no man knows who the Son really is. Nobody really knows, nobody really understands the Son of God like God the Father. Nobody really understands the nature and the character of the Father except Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. Only to those that Jesus reveals God to are going to really know him. Now, that simply means, folks, that Jesus taught everybody that he could. He taught thousands of people. But the hardness of the hearts of some people kept them from seeing who God really was. So again, Jesus is not saying here that God is partial, that he wants some people to understand the Bible, but he doesn't want others. The fault is not in God. The fault is not in the Word of God. The fault is in man's attitude. It's in man's heart. And that's why these things are hidden from some and revealed to others. Now in verse 23 and 24, here's where Jesus talks about what a great blessing it is to know these truths. He said that there were many people in the Old Testament that wanted to know and wanted to see these very things. They wanted to see the kingdom. They wanted to know what it was really all about. They wanted to see the Messiah. They wanted to hear the Messiah. They wanted to see the fulfillment of all these Old Testament prophecies, many of which they wrote. So when you go back to people like David, and you look at David and Isaiah and Daniel and other Old Testament prophets, they wanted to know more. You're looking at people that would have given anything to have been there when Jesus was on the earth, but they never saw it. They never lived to that day. They died long before Jesus came to the earth. They died long before John the Baptist came along preaching, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." They never saw the establishment of the kingdom or the church. They never lived to be in it. Now imagine, folks, if you just want to put yourself in their shoes. Imagine what it would be like to have the Old Testament and read about all these prophecies that foretold the coming of the great king, the Messiah, that foretold the coming of the kingdom, that talked about the fact that there was going to be a new law and a new age. Imagine having just that Old Testament and no New Testament to record and tell us when those things were fulfilled and what they're really all about. Now, this should naturally have kept the Jews anxious for the fulfillment and for the completion of those Old Testament prophecies. But with us, you see, we have such a blessing here that most people don't have a clue as to how great the blessing is just to have the New Testament, to be able to read about the story of Jesus, to be able to read about the kingdom of God, and to be able to read about the gospel that saves man from his sins. As a matter of fact, Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, that these prophets inquired and searched diligently about the fulfillment of those prophecies, but they didn't know themselves. They couldn't, because those things were years and years in the future. But you and I have the Bible right before us. You and I have what these Old Testament people that Jesus is talking about would have given anything to have been able just to see and hear and even to read like we do. Now, how about us? How do we look at these truths today? Do we value them? Do we see them like Jesus said we should? I hope so, and I hope that this will motivate us even more to spend more time today studying the Word of God to drink in the words of eternal life. Folks, thank you for listening to the broadcast today. It's been a joy to study with you, and we'll look forward to studying with you tomorrow morning. And tomorrow morning, we're going to begin looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan. I hope that you can join us at that time. Thank you for listening, and have a great rest of the day.